The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Joseph, he left the prison, he would have pleaded with Pharaoh to to release one guy. Now, there's one guy in the prison called Joseph. Just release him. And that will be all there will be to it. You just release him. I get what I'm talking about. But 2 years after, his services were needed in the palace. Sometimes when things are being delayed, God is not wasting his time. God is not playing. And I can tell you this, I've seen this in the word of God, but most so I've seen it even play out in the lives of people like pastor. Sometimes God makes promises, and I'm waiting and waiting, even me as the pastor, I'm wondering, when will this happen? But you see, God himself is never late. He always shows up when the time is needed. Hallelujah. And I'd like you to know that your dreams are valid, and your dreams will come to pass. Amen. I want to say that again, your dreams are valid, and they will come to pass. One of the things I told you is that, in one of these I emphasized the first day, is that there is a way to go about your dreams. For instance, I told you your dreams will bring haters to you. It will bring people that will oppose you. Every dream has opposition. And I told you, you must learn not to share your dreams too quickly. Remember I said that. Some of us just feel that God wants us to do something, and we are out there telling everybody. Personally, I don't think that any God-given dream should be shared frivolously. Most times when we talk too much, we lose whatever God wants us to do. I kind of feel that when you say some things too early, you are using up the energy you would have used to fulfill those dreams. Yeah. That's why when God puts some things in your heart, let it go through the process I showed you. Do you remember? Do you remember? What's the first level? Huh? I thought it. That's inspiration. Second level, I caught it. Remember? Third level, I bought it. Fourth level, I sell it. At this fourth level, you can now begin to sell your visions to certain people. After that, I sought it. This is where you now begin to take action, begin to seek. The other level is I got it. When you now, that's when the thing has not happened. What that follows, you surpass it. You know, all that Joseph saw was that, you know, one day your parents are going to bow to you and all that. But he did more than that. He saved an entire world from famine. Hallelujah. You know, the things that you are seeing that God wants to do with you, what he actually wants to do is bigger than what you are seeing. What you are seeing is just what your mind can carry now. We have bigger plans. That's why if you are working with God, anytime it looks like you've hit where he wants you to go, he begins to show you more things. I know what I'm talking about. He thinks, this is my vision, this is my dream. Well, God has better plans. Just that for now, this is what your mind can carry. Just like you meet a guy in the village and tell the guy who has never traveled to anywhere that one day you're going to visit 140-something countries to preach God's word. His mind is not able to carry it. So all that God will tell him is, I'll make you greater, I'll take you around the country. That's what he can carry at that time. When he has gone around the country, God will begin to show him there is more, actually. I guess what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because at that, you know, just meet a guy in the village, he has never come to Enugu town. You understand? I was somewhere, it's the village in Benue State, some years ago. And, you know, I went for mission. So they took me around. They took me to their rice farm. These guys are blessed. Man, almost every young boy there has a rice farm. And I'm talking about something small, something super big. And their land is blessed and all that. So I told this guy, so what do you do with this? I sell it. I said, how do you sell it? He said, you know, some of our people come all the way from Makurdi to come buy it from us. I said, how much? He told me the price. I said, this rice in my state, you get the point, it's selling for 3 times or 4 times what you're selling it here. You get the point? So I said, okay, so why not carry the thing and find a way, be moving it down to Enugu, at least through Obolo and all that. He now laughed. What I was telling was bigger than him. And I told me, himself, I never even go back Makurdi at all. You can imagine that. So, and that was a very, but this is a very interior village in Benue State. Very far. Very far. Men from Benue State have never been there. You know, very, very far. The whole community, I didn't see one primary school. This one primary school. So you can imagine me trying to convince that person that God wants you to be exporting rice to England. It will take a lot. They just be laughing. Show you the why me, like, you know. So if God wants to talk to that kind of person, God will first start convincing him that one day Your rice will be the number one rice in this your village. You will first buy it. That's what I'm talking about. Then, but God has bigger plans. They tell him, okay, from this village, I'm taking over the whole Makodi, the whole Benue estate. Then gradually, he cannot begin to see, oh, is that really possible? Because some of us, where God is taking you to, is farther than what you are seeing. Just that where God wants to take you to, your mind cannot carry it yet. You know what I'm saying? What God wants to do is bigger than what you are seeing. Even if you think it's just this, this, that, God has bigger plans. And you will remember I told you this when the time comes. He's taking you farther than this. And you guys get what I'm talking about. Because so many of us that are in school, say, what's your vision? I just want to make a first class. That's all we want to achieve. And then get a good job and start working. What God wants to do with you is bigger than that. It's actually bigger. One day, and possibly one day, you might be the hope of democracy in Nigeria as a barrister. Yeah. Right. First of all, I want to make first class. That's what I'm and get job. Once that they'll be paying me 550 or 600, I'm fine. You know, even that this alone looks like a big vision because lawyers are underpaid all over the world, all over the country. Are you aware? I just have to tell you. So, but you see, so this guy considering vision only wants one that just hit a job of 1.2 million as a lawyer, as in a Ghana cash out. But he also knows that God has something bigger for him. One day, the destiny of a great country may lie on the shoulder of this young man. And his name is... Glory to God. So I like you to know that God actually has bigger. And what I'm telling you encourages me, what God wants to do with us as a church is bigger than what we even see now. You know, today we just gather, we are 100, or if we are big, we are 200. But you see, what God wants to do is bigger than this number. It's even more than number. It's more than building a big auditorium. It's actually big. It's actually about many nations. And I can tell you for free, it's bigger than that. And I know it. Hallelujah. And you should know it. For instance, one of the things that must happen to you is that, we're talking about dreams, you must know the vision of your local church. Because the vision of your local church is your vision. The vision of your church is your vision. And I'm not just talking about knowing the vision statements to raise the people. You must know where your church is going to per time. And in case you don't, I will tell you, we are going somewhere. Somewhere very big. And it's not just an exciting statement. It's something I've seen in the spirit. Tens of thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people who are, I'm not talking about useless crowd. I'm not talking about a crowd that do not know their left from their right. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people all filled with the Holy Ghost, all growing spiritually, all saving the lost. We're going to have that all over the place. Sound teachers seated down as students. They can teach, but they're still learning. And they'll be sent all over the world. And I tell you, that's what we're going to. It's beyond what we're doing here. What we're trying to do there is just a base for ministry operations. But I tell you from here, and somebody is sitting with you here, who champion the cause of the gospel in some parts of this world that you've not been to. Because God has showed me some countries that I will go to, but I will never enter there. Because some people will arrive from here and be there. Hallelujah. And I tell you, we are getting there very, very soon. So you must be able to see where we are going to as a church too. You get the point? We are not stopping here. I know that I'm going to tell some of you that God is putting it in your heart to be part of this vision. Forever. To commit your life and your heart to it. Don't pray for a revival and not partake of it when it comes. You hear what I say? We are going somewhere. Something very big. And I can tell you with confidence, something very big. So as I sit in my room and I see it. And I see it. Even the pictures I saw before we even started as a church have not even happened yet. So what people are seeing, and I told you guys last year at Zoe, when I came in here, the hall was full. There was no space to seat our people. And I told you guys, the Lord said to me that I walked in, he said, these are the days of your little beginning. I get the point. So whatever I have seen today, we've never started. And I'm not just saying it because I just want to make you feel good. I'm saying what God said to me. He said, these are the days of little beginning. Hallelujah. I can tell you that he said, era will get into in this ministry organization. When crusades will begin to hold in different communities and different towns and different communities, different countries. I'm talking about sometimes you see 5 crusades holding in 1 week. Mega meetings. Thousands and tens of thousands. The where I can be, some other people will be there. And it will be the same results. I get what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a television station that will broadcast the gospel 24 hours in 7 days. That's what we are going to. So it's bigger than all this they're doing in Enugu here or they're doing in Nigeria. The only person that has seen it fully is God himself. He's just showing me pictures. So you have to see the dream, the bigger picture. So if you think that I just came out to do church for just come in here and clap and give me the no. I'm too serious. I'm more serious than that. See, the reason it looks like, you know, guess what we're doing? I'm taking time, I'm taking years to build capital. Capital is not money. Capital is people. Yes, so we're raising capital. That's what we're doing now. You know, first of all, raise capital before it starts. I'm telling you. But that race, I'm looking at raising a capital of 1,000 trained men. Then this is what we collect. I know what I'm talking about. The vision is bigger than what we are seeing here. And I'm talking about trained men. And what God showed me in my spirit, majority of them be professionals. So you see me push it to say, go for your masters, do this. Yeah, I know what I saw in my spirit. Professionals, entrepreneurs, business owners, all trained. Hallelujah. We are going to see a massive spread of the word. I'm saying everything I'm saying by the Holy Ghost. That we're not ending now. We're not ending small. God has shown us pictures. We know what we have seen. And what we have seen, we're going to go after it. And yes, I know visions can take 3 years. It can take 10 years. But I'm going to be patient to wait for this to happen. It might take 10 years, but we're going to be here. Because the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. When someone just puts a mustard seed into the floor, into the ground, and then with that, it grows to become the biggest of trees. Yes, we are starting just like a mustard seed now. People don't even see where we are going to. It looks so messy and not so perfect now. But something big is coming out of this. Give us 5 years. Give us 7 years. Give us 10 years. Something big is going to happen. It's going to happen. I saw also in the spirit many buildings rising in different parts of the world. And I saw that in the spirit, filled with men, filled with people, carrying the gospel on their shoulders and taking the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. And the Lord showed me Southern America particularly flooded with light. Some parts of East Africa flooded with light. And also this is the pattern. It is from West Africa to East Africa to South America and then to the ends of the earth. There will be that spread. And there will be, thank you Holy Spirit, thank you Father, there will be different ministry expressions to this. Some later, Rabatea, we're going to see gospel artists committed to their church and yet reaching nations from their church. We're going to see our songs reverberating in different nations. I have these songs being translated into Italian, into Spanish, all over the place. Yeah, there will be ministries that will act the message and they will sell. I see people sitting down in cinema houses to watch messages. What I'm watching is drama. But they're going to be getting saved in those places. I see all this in the spirit. And so I tell you, don't think it is ending now. It's a bigger picture than what we are seeing. So when we are drilling you, when God is drilling us, when he is insisting on excellence, when he's trying to train us, it's because where we are going is further than this. If you just want to do church, I tell you we are doing okay. But we just don't want to do church. What we want to do is bigger than just gathering. God said, raise me a platform. This is not just a church. This is a platform. We have many ministries who gain expression. And from there, the whole world will be flooded with the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so you must see this vision I'm seeing. You must see it, this is what I'm saying it. You must see the way I'm saying it. You must see the way I'm saying it. You must see it the way I'm saying it. I see a Zoe conference that housed many people from different nations. And when I'm talking about going to South America, going to East Africa, going to the UK, I'm not talking about just going there to reach Nigerians there. I'm talking about going there to reach the natives, people that are from that place. church, and I can see people's hairs, but they're different colors. I see black, I see red, I see Caucasian, I see white. I don't know what it is. The Lord said these are different races that have been represented here. And this will happen. Instruction, write the vision. Make it plain. That he that runneth might read. Or he that readeth it rather might run with it. For says the Lord, the vision is for an appointed time. But do it, tarry. Wait for it. At the end, it shall speak. So that is the vision I see. And you know what the Lord said to me? Many of you that God has shown pictures of your ministry, but you don't even know. It's very confusing. Look at what the Lord said. He says, for some of you, it's confusing because what God wants you to do is not an independent work. What God wants you to do is an expression of what God is doing here. Just that it's not yet time for that. So just follow and grow. When the time comes, you will find what God wants you to do in what is happening here. Because I see about 30 ministry expressions, but I'm not going to get into them today. Different expressions of this ministry. So just stay, grow, get better. Nobody here is ordinary. Because everybody here is carrying a leko rabbi. You know the Lord said to me some time ago, he said, pay attention to the people that will join the work in the first 10 years of the work. He said that the people, many of them will stand firm in what I am going to do in many years to come. You know, as I'm saying this, some of you are feeling this hot in your spirit. You can sense that something is being stirred up, that God is talking to you. We are not ending here. We're not ending here. We're not ending here. It took 13 years. If it takes 20 years, we are going to go. If it takes 25 years, we are going to go. But I tell you, all that God has said to us, we are going to contend with them to make sure that we see all of them come to pass. A lot to say. But God is showing me again, as he has shown me before, the vision he has for families in this place. Families. Families. But talking about, God said it will be a church of families. A church where father, mother, children are present. It will not be a church where the father is there, the mother is nowhere to be found. The father, the mother, the children will all be growing and be trained. It will be a church of families. We're going to have this happen a lot and a lot. The future is bigger than what we can see now. So let's fight for the dream. Let's fight for the vision. Let's contend for the destiny. Because God said, have I said it, I will bring it to pass. Finally, he said, as you see, the pictures he put in your heart concerning church, he was not joking. He wasn't lying to you. Some of you have had some visions. God has spoken to you about church, platform of grace as a church. He's not lying. He's not joking. He means everything. And one day, you will start to testify that God spoke to me about my church many years ago. And I didn't even bother telling anybody or telling the pastor. But everything he said, I've just seen all of them happen one by one. We are not ending here. Some of you think that you just came, you are just in church because you came to school, because you came to a street, because you came to your neck. Well, God says that is not the truth. Your coming here was divinely orchestrated for this purpose. I wanted you trained, says the Lord. I wanted you polished for the ministry. I wanted you set for the work of the gospel. So I sent you here. So don't think you just came to IMC and then you found a church. God saw the church and brought you here so that you can grow and become better. Some of you, it's in 20 years' time that you remember this prophecy. And remember that God actually patterned your footsteps. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery. 13 years after, or many years after that, the brothers came and met him. In fact, the brothers did not even meet him 13 years after. Because he was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh. After that, there was 7 years of famine. So he should be 37. The 37 years of plenty first. He should be 37. So the brothers came in the 7 years of famine. So let's say 38, 39, 40, somewhere around that age. That's when they came. You know what he told them? He said, do not feel bad that you sold me to slavery here. He said, because God sent me here. So in the physical, you sent me here, you sold me here. In the spiritual, God had another plan. He sent me here to preserve your life. In the physical, you gained admission to come here. In the spiritual, God sent you here to raise you and to send you. We are not ending now. I'm not saying that many of you are going to stay back in Enugu. Many of you will be found in different parts of the world. Because then, how is it going to spread? Many of you have been trained. Some of you just have 5 years to spend here. Some of you just have 7 years. Some of you just 10 years. And God will send you to Turkey. God will send you to nations that are totally Islamic nations. Some of you. And you remember when I said it. But the earth is going to be flooded with light. And the knowledge of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Brace up. Prepare yourself. Marry for these purpose. Date for these purpose. Plan your life for these purpose. Where there is a vision. And we are going to see that vision accomplished. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pray the Holy Ghost a little. Lord, Mary, please. Just pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Oh, well. So that was the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. So you should know when it's in oppression. Hallelujah. So we were looking at last week how this helped God where he was. So we have a vision, you must have a dream. Amen. So I'm going to tell you about 2-3 things again that we can learn from Joseph's life, even as he was on the journey to fulfill his vision, his dream that God has put in his heart. So Genesis 37 and verse 5. The first thing we learn from Joseph is, we're going to learn from Joseph today, is the fact that he was very bold with his giftings and with his abilities. Joseph knew what he could do, and he was bold. Genesis 37 was the first time he had a dream. In Genesis chapter 40, because there are two major abilities you find out that Joseph had that distinguished him. Number one is that he could interpret dreams. That was the major ability. He could interpret. The word stood him before Pharaoh. I get that point. He could and he knew. The guy knew he could interpret. He knew it like he knew his name. You know, for everybody, there is an ability that God puts inside of you. Everybody. Male, female, young, old, God puts something there. It's not just about spiritual gifts here. There's an ability God puts there, and it is as you, thank you, Father, it is as you exercise that ability or that gift boldly that you begin to go closer to what God wants to do with you. Let me give an example. So Joseph could interpret dreams. When the guy in the prison said, I had a dream where this did happen, he would have simply said, just relax. Nobody asked him. He told them plainly, tell me the dream. Let me tell you the meaning. Many of us have not yet made much progress because the abilities that God has put in us, we are not bold to use them when the need arises. So he said, just tell me. God tells me, you notice that same thing that Daniel then did. When Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to kill all of you because you could, he said, wait, give us one day, we'll go and come back. When God has put an ability, that's why I tell you, when God graces you with something, it is important that you realize that you've been graced with that thing. And then you are bold with it. So Joseph knew he could interpret dreams. So he said, tell me the dream, I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to interpret it. He interpreted the first one and the second one, and it happened. By the time Pharaoh had a dream, they went to bring him. You didn't see Joseph fidgeting. Just go and say, well, this is what it means. Stay up. There is something about when you know that God has given you an ability. It might be a spiritual gift. It might be a talent. Might not even be a talent. It might be something. Because there's something that Joseph had. It wasn't just that interpretation of dream. The second ability you find in Joseph, I don't know how to put it, but let me just use this term. He had this administrative skill. And I'm going to show you shortly. And these two things are the things that took him to his dream. Everything God has put in your heart, there is an ability you have. There is a grace God puts there. There is a strength God puts there. There is a talent he puts there that you are supposed to, you know, begin to hone that skill and be bold with it when the time comes. When the time comes. So the guy stood before Pharaoh and interpreted dream. I'm going to show another ability the guy had, which was that administrative thing. You notice in Genesis 39 verse 4, I'll just take you through some scriptures. In Genesis 39 verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight, that's Potiphar. He served him and he made him overseer of his house. All that he had, he put into his hand. Verse 35, he heard the part that from time to time, he made him an overseer in his house over all that he had. You notice, he entered Potiphar's house. It wasn't just about the grace of God or anointing. The guy had his ability to organize stuff. You find that he entered Potiphar's house. He took Potiphar said, see, you are in charge. Everything. This was a slave. Anytime you listen to Joseph, so you do something, we are talking about a slave. Not even a maid. A slave. Who is not meant to be anything. But he came there, began to exercise. I could just imagine him making one or two suggestions. Can't we do this, this way, and that way? And Potiphar is saying, this guy is not normal. I got what I'm talking about. I'll give another example. In verse 22, he went to the prison. Same thing. The guy in the prison looked at him and said, this is normal. And handed over everything. Everything. Say, take charge. Nobody informed him that this guy was in charge of Potiphar's house. He just saw that ability. He just saw. Maybe Joseph would just suggest, can we do it this way? I have an idea. Can we sort it this way? He saw it. The place he manifested fully was that when he stood before Pharaoh. Do you know that the only thing God told Joseph was that God gave him the interpretation of the dream? That's all. The other part of let us save one fifth, God didn't tell him that part. I know what I'm talking about. It was an ability the guy had. And he didn't shy away from breaking it up. And that's what finally made him great. Because go to chapter 40. What, Abby? Chapter 42, verse 33. If he had just appeared there and said, look at what the dream is, interpreted the dream, what will happen? Pharaoh appreciates him. You're a great man. Save him from prison. Make him whatever. I know. Give him money and what have you. But after he interpreted the dream, he said, this is what we should do. Amen. Is it chapter 40? Hold on a little. Let me get the exact place I'm looking for. Amen. Okay. Chapter 41. From verse 22. So, of course, we know. So, I saw in my dream 7 years come. So, this was where Pharaoh narrated the dream. Verse 23, he was narrating the dream. Verse 25, Joseph began to repeat the dream. Say, this is the dream of Pharaoh is one. Are you still here? He was prophet. By the time he got to the prison, same story. So, what is it about this guy? And everywhere he goes to, it seems like the favor is with him. I know what I'm talking about. The thing is, Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. That was the secret. Now, the point is, the Lord is with all of us. In fact, none of us have the Lord living inside of us. But why don't we have the same experience that the guy had? He knew the secret. He knew how to engage that presence that he had and how to turn it into something that will bring favor and bring prosperity. I explained this at Prosperity Summit, if you remember. That God's presence with you, if you know how to engage that thing very well, Joseph knew it. He knew. That if you know how to engage God's presence with you very well, it can be a source of favor and prosperity. So what was it that Joseph had differently from every other person? You think it was just the dream that he was interpreting. Don't you realize you could have just interpreted that dream to Pharaoh? Pharaoh would say, oh wow, that's great. And he would now say, I suggest something. Let's pick a man. Pharaoh would say, that's also okay. Where are all these my chiefs? Let me pick one of you. I know what I'm talking about. There was this favor. And if you are going to be someone that will fulfill your dream, your potential, whatever you want to call it, there must be that mark of favor that God's presence puts on you that you must wear. Must. If not, you don't realize there are many people doing the same thing you are doing. Are you getting me? You are selling pepper. There are 200,000 pepper sellers in the world. You are running a school. You are a lecturer. You are that. You are applying for a job. There are 20,000 people applying for the same job sometimes. I think it was some years ago that what was that institution that was employed in Nigeria where there was stampede? I think it was immigration. The crowd that came for the interview, so people died. Again, the people that came to apply for the job. You know how they stampede, like people match people, people die. So you can imagine that crowd. At the end of the day, they may be looking for like 20 people. So why will it be you that they will take? That's what you ask yourself. Of all the hundreds of thousands of slaves that are sold in the days of Joseph, where was it him that this happened to? This is no coincidence. And to prove that it's no coincidence, it happened in his father's house. It happened in Potiphar's house. It happened in the prison. It happened four times. First one may be a mistake. The second one may be coincidence. But the third one and the fourth one, there's a pattern there. Are you getting what I'm talking about? There's a pattern there. And that pattern is that the guy knew he had the presence of God and he knew how to engage it. And everywhere you bring him, the Bible just tells you, the Lord was with Joseph. Therefore, the peace, the father with him. The Lord was with Joseph. Therefore, he prospered. It was the same pattern. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master. Gradually, in fact, the Bible will tell you, let me show you something. That's in Genesis 39. Let me show you verse, glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 3, his master saw. You know, I like this verse very well. His master saw. The first time I read this, God said, stop. This is master. Was an unbeliever. So when the Bible said the master saw that the Lord was with Joseph, it wasn't in the spirit. It's not like he had a vision where the Lord said, my son, Potiphar, I am with that guy. It wasn't in the spirit. Your boss does not have to be born again. But you see, like the people you carry, you will just know that there is something different with this guy. Are you still here? Yeah. The master saw something is different. He saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all he did to run. How did he see? Possibly the first day Joseph came, they just said, Joseph, you know your job today is make sure that you take care of that training fowl. Maybe they have a poultry. About 15. And then Joseph goes there. Suddenly, they used to have 10 eggs there daily. Now, by 1 week, they've had like 200 eggs from 15 birds. The matter of that is coincidence. It can just happen. They say, you're not going to work in there. We are moving you to the tailoring shop because it was a rich one. And I just get there. And then normally they have 3 customers, 4 customers every day. In less than 1 week, they had 250 customers. Ah! Let's move here again. At the time, he said, see, there's something about this guy. I can't place it. I don't know his God. He doesn't serve our God, but there's something about him. That's the favor of God. Joseph on that, and that is one major thing. I have told you about everything about Joseph, but this thing I'm sharing with you stood him out. And that favor is upon you. That is the truth. Why? Because that singular factor that Joseph had, you have it. The Lord was with Joseph. And he's with you. He said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. The question now is, how do you engage? Because Joseph had a secret. He knew how to engage that thing. I can tell you, I can mention something to you. One of the things Joseph knew, one of the secrets of Joseph is, he knew, and not just Joseph, anybody that is going to engage God's favor, God's presence, and then turn it to favor for him, he must be aware that the thing is there. Like, you see me, I'm aware that I carry a strange presence. As soon as I preach here and I talk to you, it looks like I'm bragging. I can preach when I start telling you things like, you see me here, I have what it takes to make you a serious Christian. I know it. Before you can begin to walk into certain things that God wants to do for you and with you, you must be aware of those things. The awareness starts from you. So Joseph knew that for Potiphar to know that God was with Joseph, Joseph knew. And Joseph would possibly have been saying to them, God is with me. I get the point. But I'm telling them, see, this will work. God is with me. He knew it. I know because he knew it, it was very easy. I get the point. You know, by the time you get to chapter 40, verse 8, when those guys had dreams, Joseph told them, share that dream with me. Interpretation is with God. Look at it. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them. So if it belongs to God, what are we telling you? The guy knew God was, he knew God was with him. It's an awareness. Are you guys following me this evening? It's an awareness because many of us, what I'm saying is you must be aware that as I'm about to enter this shop, something different is going to happen. Sometimes it's almost seen as pride, but I know it. If something is not working and I come in, it's going to work. Amen. It's going to work. If I'm not serious and I meet you, you'll be serious. It's something I know. Now, it's the same presence all of us have, the same Holy Ghost. But awareness sometimes makes a difference. Amen. I'm aware that God's presence in me causes prosperity. Now, it's not just what is true for every believer. It's a revelation I have. So when I meet you, sometimes when I meet you, when people come to my office for the first time, and I'm meeting them for the first time, they're just joining Church newly. Every time, sometimes, in my mind, I've already played the picture of where they will be in 3 years' time. I'm telling you. Both spiritually, financially. I know. See, how are you so sure? I carry an anointing that makes it possible. But it's what I know. So the question is, what do you know? How did Potiphar know that God was with Joseph? You know, if Joseph was not saying that God was with him, Potiphar would have just said, well, there is something strange about you. But he knew what it was. He said, God is with this guy. So he must be aware. And being aware, you know, that's why some of you are about to do business. You must carry an awareness of God's presence into your business. God's presence that will turn to God's favor. That will produce favor. Carry that awareness of God's presence into your studies. I believe that they can, and it has happened, they can reschedule an exam because of me. I've done it many times. And so, I'm sure that people ask me questions like, well, are you the only Christian in this class? Maybe not. But I'm that important to God. I know that's all important to God. We all are important to God, but I am important to God. I'm not doubting your own. It's awareness. Are you guys getting me? It's awareness. It's awareness. And so you realize Joseph knew. So it starts by you being aware. I'd like you to carry that awareness as you go after your dream. You want to start selling this. You want to start opening this. Carry an awareness of the presence of God. And believe that that presence of God will cause things to work in your favor. Are you getting me? That this thing I'm telling you is a game changer in dream fulfillment. I want to start selling Okirika here. There are 20 Okirika sellers. And what I'm envisaging is when I will be the one distributing to the whole Enugu. Why? Why would you be the one? Of all the people, you have not even set up to win in the business. There is something different about me. Many slaves were sold into Egypt. One came out as prime minister. It's the favor of God. Because I've taught you must work hard, must be diligent, must be good with your gifts and all that. But you see, there must be that touch of God's favor in what you do. Amen. I believe what I'm telling you with all my heart. Sometimes they tell me, there's this guy that is, I'm talking this over because I'm a minister, you know, that's the grace God has given me. This guy is very
stubborn. No, but you know they hear what?
I normally say, bring him to my church. And some of you know people that you have brought in, so they become serious. And just have it. He's there. Say, that guy, you know they hear what? They kill. I say, bring him. What do you do to him? I'll greet him. What? The woman brought the son at that time. Some time ago. I say, madam, if I talk to him. After talking. I say, okay, madam, excuse us. And she excused us. I just told the boy, how far? She said, we said, fine. That is life. He said, fine. I said, you're not a better person, Joe. Just they come church. I'm telling you. The point is, right, was sitting in there. The guy told me his life history. I didn't say anything. Now, why? Now, I'm aware. Why, you know why I'm so confident that bring any, unless the guy doesn't want to talk to me. I come because you're a cultist, you're a ritualist, and we talk. You're going to change. It's an awareness I call. Do you understand? If you carry it into your business, you can carry an awareness. And I'm about to go into this business. I know there are many people doing it, but I am the favored one. Why? The Lord is with me. So somehow, things will just begin to go in my favor. Carry it into an interview hall. The same thing. But an awareness that gives confidence. All this you're coming to come for the interview, your feet is knocking. Say, my name is, my names are, my, you know. You know, I've seen, you know, I've taught you, when I taught you spiritual boldness, confidence, boldness is attractive. Very, very. You know, just when I just tell somebody, my name is, it's not my name, it's my names are. You say, okay, ma. You continue. Ask first question, you don't know it. Second one, you don't know it. Yeah, I have a story like this. So. Hey, you don't know anything. Now go. He said it's not true. He said, I'm sorry, ma. You asked me what I did not know, what I did not read. If you are, I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Not arrogantly. If you ask me in the area of what I cover, you don't have to tell me. He said, what did you cover? He said, look at these areas I cover. I'm not joking. And she asked. And he answered, he said, I like your confidence. What will you bring to the table? I will change this company. You know, sometimes confidence can be that attractive. You know, that sometimes when people hear you making, I can imagine in an interview or telling them, I have ideas that can take this company, this. I told you guys, I have many stories like this. Many. Where people come to places because of that awareness that they carry something. And it's not just talk. And how you know it's not just talk is that when they enter, their things actually begin to change. Let me tell you, I believe, I've told many of you that are working here, if you are a son or a daughter under me, and you start working in a company, before the next 3 to 6 months, you must receive at least one staff of the month award. If you work with me, we know. If you must, somehow, you are the staff of the month. In fact, they won't be giving it to you every month so that you don't lose somehow. Should I run a test? If I ask you, I know what I'm saying. Why? I just feel that when you come into a place, one, I've taught you well. You are diligent first. You be doing your work well. Then there will now be this thing, this icing on the cake, that favor of God. People that are here that have told me, I joined the company and there's this particular boss that does not like me at all. 2-3 months down the line, I'm her favorite staff. It's the favor of God. And I will challenge you to engage that favor. Get the point? I have a daughter that said to me, and I believe it too, and it has been working for her. She said, I don't fail interviews. I get all the jobs. I choose the one I want. What a way to think. Amen. So when I'm talking to her, I say, why not if you just go for the job, go for the interview first. She say, Daddy, you know the thing that if I go, I will get it. So I have to choose whether I want it if I go, because I know if I go, I will get it. So say, why are you feeling yourself like that? Well, it's an awareness. Do you get the point? You know, if Joseph was on awareness, when Pharaoh would say, well, you brought a good idea. Let's place you in charge of the whole Egypt. They will say, me, Lord, I'm not worthy. And that's sometimes think is humility. It's lack of awareness.
He gave it to his state. He said, okay, let's get to work immediately. Hallelujah. I'm very much aware of what I carry. I'm aware I have the presence of God. I go for negotiations sometimes knowing I have God's presence. If I want a property and they say 7 million, I can negotiate it to 2.5 million. They say how? I just know how I'm going to do it. So that I don't even know. But I know what I will engage. And I share that story with you guys. This guy, this man of God, you know, it was time for TV. I shared that story. It was time for TV ministry. And God has been talking to them. And they need equipment for TV ministry. And they've been praying. And then the Lord showed them. There's one lady in Lagos they had. This lady has a lot of equipment for this TV stuff, broadcasting stuff and all that. But he didn't have the money. So he went there. Met the woman face to face. The woman said, okay, you want to, how much do you have? And the man said, how much? He said, no, just tell us how much. Tell me how much you have, anything. He said, anything, he said, yes. Anything, he said, yes. He said, I'm about to give it to us for free. The woman started laughing. He said, no, the woman started laughing. He felt something had broken into his spirit, so he started laughing too. The woman he told us, so he said, the joy on me jumped on her. I'm not joking. So we laughed and laughed and laughed for some minutes. He said, these people, take it, Joe, take. I'm not joking. Everything for free. I get the point. And at the time, I've tried it, I've been on my pastor. Sometimes they call me. That we went for the property, went for the hall, and they said, this amount. My people went, they said, this amount. I said, go yourself. I'm sending you. Go, say what you want. And the result always comes back. That is a mark of favor and was your wealth. So Joseph carried it. The presence of God that made for favor. Another thing is, apart from being aware, of course, you must now always say it to yourself. Every day. Because it's even the saying that makes you aware. You are not aware because you're hearing me say it. You are aware because you're saying it to yourself. I'm marked with favor. Distinguished with favor. Things are different for me. I believe it totally. And I'm not just giving you hope. I'm giving you a thought pattern. This is how I think. I get what I deserve. I get what I want. And except God says I shouldn't go for it. So what do I do? Long before that, I'm already talking about. I'm already talking. So you must learn to engage that favor, you know, that God's presence. Know it and talk about it a lot and a lot. So be conscious of it. Speaking about yourself. Pray also. So if you are in places in your life where things are not moving well, this is the liberation you need. You carry God's presence. That God's presence is a mark of God's favor upon you. Go and use it. Amen. That's why some ladies here, even guys, or you see some ladies here, you are thinking of getting married. The guy is good, he's spiritual, he's this, he's that, just that things are not working well in his business. Well, if he's lazy, stay away. But if actually he's not lazy, but things are not moving well, and you believe yourself, die. And if you believe this way, you carry, enter. Now, take it from me. Your presence is enough travel. Are you guys hearing me? Like, that's what I believe. It's enough favor. I told somebody, I said, if you are meant to fail, you can no longer fail. Well, I've met you. But it's true. And I'm saying it to many of you. Some of you are destined for failure. I've diverted your destiny. You can no longer. Where do you even start from? You can't. Take it from me. You are meant to end up in your village. You cannot end up there again. You can't be hearing me every day. Have you ever tried to do something mediocre in your life? Instead of hearing my voice. But hearing, that's not the way it should be done. Be excellent. Go for it. That's what you'll be hearing. Hallelujah. And somebody was telling me today. He said, yeah, sometimes I want to do something. It's like your voice is telling me you cannot do. If it's Papa, will you do this? If I tell him to leave me proud, you must think excellently. So if you're a woman or you're a man, this family is this, that, but you do your carry God's presence, enter that marriage. Amen? Except he's lazy, because if he's lazy, his laziness will be clashing with your favor. So nothing is going to work. But I tell you, meet a hardworking person, ladies, I'd like you to believe, even if you're going to marry a rich man, that if he was as rich as 100 million, when you come in, he's going to jump to 2 billion. Because you came in, and I believe that I'm telling you totally. And that's why in this church, at any point you have when I met you, if I met you already had 100 million, we'll multiply it in 2 years.
Yes, sir.
I believe it. Some of you entered this church, when you entered, you were already intelligent, naturally intelligent in your studies. But coming here, there's going to be a triple effect. Maybe I'm meant to make 2-1. You can't now. How can you? You can't. Or you may just end up an average person, just get an average job. I'm collecting chop money. You need more than chop money.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So when I wrote that declaration, I'm getting my house, I'm getting so when you declare that in, you almost laugh at yourself. So I'm getting my houses, I'm getting my lands, I'm getting my cars. You can imagine. But I know what I'm saying, you cannot be small again. I told you guys I woke up one day and I decided I will not earn small. And if I made that decision, I implicated you. You dare not earn small. It's not possible. I don't know. You choose your career. We will push you to the end of the career, to the climax of it. You get the point? I carry the favor of God. I'm meeting me, you've met with favor. That same thing you carry into your marriage, same thing you carry into your school, same thing you carry into any office, is the favor of God. If I come here, things will begin to work. And some of you will see the testimony as I'm done with this teaching. As you go tomorrow, things will begin to change. I get the point. Things will begin to change. I've come to a point in my life where people cannot tell me no. I get it. If I want, I'm going to get it. It's the mark of God's favor. It was upon Joseph. Have a man, a common slave, even went from being a slave to being a prisoner. Let me ask you, what made Joseph a prisoner? Do you know the crime he committed? He tried to rape an officer's wife. You know that was the crime he committed. How did Pharaoh overlook all of that? I can't get this evening. Pharaoh did not even ask, so why were you in prison? Before we think of making you leader, why were you? No question like that. He had a rape allegation on him. Told you to be convicted for it. But when that Pharaoh begins to speak, I can't follow me this evening. Nobody asks question again, like, why are you in prison? There is something that will come. Sometimes your past does not count again. One day, the Lord said to me one day, he said, I was telling him, sir, you know, this church you are doing, I've messed up a lot. He said, forget about the past, I'll fix that one. And that's the word for somebody. He will fix that one. It comes to the point, people no longer want to see where you're coming from. Sometimes they won't even ask you your CV. I told you that just this last month, someone got a job, a managerial position, without submitting CV. She was jobless. Went from jobless and job hunting to becoming a manager because somebody said, that is this girl I know. I worked with her 2 years ago. Are you guys following me at all? They were in the meeting, the guy was just taking, said, this girl, you don't know this girl. Take her first. And she said, Melly, they told me that offer was coming. I sat up in my room. With the wisdom of God, I wrote down one or two ideas I had for the company. Well, we met the next day. I just made one or two suggestions to the man. Said, what if we do this, do that? And then I said, okay, if you run my work, this is the girl for the job. And right there, the manager, right there. Are you guys getting me? From no job at all. It's not Cinderella movie. You get the point? It's not on my journey. It happened. It's the favor of God. And once again, I'm praying that favor upon you. You will be marked with that favor. In the name of Jesus, you'll be marked with that favor. You are marked with that favor. You are marked with that favor. You are marked with that favor. Carry that consciousness wherever you are going to. There are stories I grew up on. Do you remember when one of our mentors told us a story? He gained admission. He just used the small money he had and paid acceptance fee. He said the day he met his father to tell his father, I'm going back to school. The man said, I don't have anything. He gave him as if 500 naira. He said, that's all I have. Since you say you really want to go to school, may God be with you. He said they carry, very funny. That, I wish I can tell you so that we told this anyway. He said they carry this. Ghana must go back, he said. Entered UNN. And he said he knew nobody from Adam. We just standing up and down. Can I tell you this story? There was a certain young man in that school who graduated like last year or last 2 years, but had some issues, not academic issues, no carryover, but there was just one problem after another. But the Lord was telling him, there's a reason for this, stay back. This is a great man of God that was in that school. Stay back. That is somebody I'm going to send for you to train. And it was that guy. He didn't know. He carried it back on his head, went walking up and down the school. And the guy said, who are you? Where are you going to? He said, I don't have any place. Say, come and stay with us. That was it. Got accommodation from there. I'm telling you, it's not, I didn't hear from TV. Going to school, got accommodation. From there, less than 1 or 2 years, he was living in UNN. He was living in the boys' quarter, all this stuff, whatever. Grew from there. The Lord used him mightily in the school. He belongs very mightily in the school. But he left his substance and without nowhere. But it's an awareness. So, what if he didn't find a place to stay? You can't be stranded now. I can tell you that favor of God will prepare room for you in strange places. If you look at Joseph's life, you cannot doubt that something was speaking over this board. Sit for a moment. I want to close in like 10, 15 minutes. So, the guy knew how to engage the presence of God. There is one more thing I'll talk about. And that thing is the blessing. Joseph understood the place of the blessing. Now, I thought about the presence of God. I'm talking about the blessing. The presence of God is what you carry on your inside. You are there. The blessing is when a higher person, maybe a higher believer, puts his blessing on, maybe a father and all that, puts a blessing on you. Joseph understood that secret. You know, I was studying today, Genesis 49. I was looking at that when Jacob was blessing his children. When he got to Joseph, thank you, Holy Ghost. In verse 22, when he got to Joseph, he said, verse 22, he said, Joseph is a fruitful bow. Even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him. Genesis 49. And shot at him and hated him. Now verse 24. He said, but his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. I got there and God said, pause. The mighty God of Jacob. So what Joseph carried was, Jacob was narrating how Joseph succeeded. What he carried was the strength of the mighty God of Jacob. So we're talking about the God of Jacob. We're talking about the hand of God or the blessing that was upon Jacob. Jacob is saying, that same blessing upon me is what has come upon this guy. Let me refresh your mind. There was a man called Abraham. Do you remember him? One day God met him and said, leave your father's house to a land I will show you. So the guy left his father's house. All he carried was a blessing. God told him, I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. He went, entered a strange land, and became very wealthy. When he wanted to die, he blessed another man called Isaac. Isaac went to a land where there was even famine, the land of Jerah. Do you remember? And prospered in that land. When he was there, he blessed another man called Jacob. Jacob carried that blessing and went to a strange land, the house of Laban, and became wealthy there. That's the same blessing that was upon Joseph. So when he entered a strange land, just like the people that have been before him, that's what Jacob is saying, the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. Are you following me? That same thing, it happened to Abraham, it happened to Isaac, it happened to Jacob. Joseph carried the same thing. And to tell you that he knew what he was doing, go to chapter 48, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. So they told him, your father is sick. So Jacob was about to die. Guess what he did? He took between his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. The rest of the story is that he took them and ran to his father and said, put a blessing on them before you die. To pass after these things, that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So when they say your father is sick, he's about to die, all that Joseph was wondering about was my two sons. That same thing that is on me, I want it upon these two boys. you must understand, do you remember somebody did this thing? The guy was Rebecca. When Isaac was about to die, Rebecca brought Jacob and smuggled him in and said, I can't carry, can't collect the blessing. Same thing, you said before. Do you know the implication of this blessing? Ephraim and Manasseh automatically entered the lineage of Jacob. There are 12 tribes of Israel. You will not see the tribe of Joseph. But you see the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. Look at the blessing. Look at it in verse. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Verse 5. Okay, verse 4. Behold, I will make thee fruitful. He was telling, saying what God told him. That the Lord told him at least that he will make him fruitful. And I will make of thee a multitude of people. Are you still there? I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Now, thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben. So, they are no longer your children. They now belong to me. So, look at, he knew what he was saying. Look at, and thy issue is that blessed after them shall be thine. Okay, he said, others are yours, but this one shall be mine. Are you getting the point? So, in other words, they entered the list of the tribes of Israel, the patriarchs of Israel. They entered there by that blessing. So, Joseph had two slots. Do you understand? He had two slots. So somebody obviously left. I'll talk about this in one day. Someone obviously was displaced from that list. Because Jacob had 12 sons. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? But another day I'll talk about this. So the guy understood the blessing and why it was important. He knew that in this land, though, something brought me here. Something kept me here. It was, and Jacob said, this guy succeeded by the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. The hand of God upon Jacob was upon this guy. The guy, you know, do you know who Jacob is? Left his father's house without anything. All he had was that Isaac said, you are blessed. He went all the way to Laban's house. Years after that, came back a very wealthy man. In fact, he was rich. So look at this. Jacob left his house and left all the inheritance. That, you know, Isaac was a rich man too, but he did not become rich by Isaac's wealth. So who took everything? Esau took all the Isaac's wealth. He just went with the blessing. Are you guys following me at all? You remember what he told? He said, I passed over Jordan with only my staff, only my walking stick. So when it was time, Joseph knew what to do. And then he heard, so even before Jacob began to bless his sons in Genesis 49, he already blessed those two boys in Genesis 48. Are you guys getting me? So sometimes when people see, now I have taught you this, pay attention to people that carry the blessing in your life. It's not everybody that carries the blessing. It's not everybody that carries the blessing. Why didn't Joseph bless them himself? Is he not their father? Come on. Do you know who Jacob is? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you think that is a joke? This guy, let me tell you, there were only three of them like that. After Jacob, he now had 12 tribes.
tribes of Israel. The blessed way from Abraham directs to Isaac, directs to Jacob. That's the patriarch himself. He said, I carry the blessing, but please, put something upon these boys. You know, the amazing thing is that those boys were not even full Israelites. Because Joseph's wife was an Egyptian. Was the son, Joseph's wife was the daughter of a priestess. Do you understand me? Is it Peter Bay? It's called Potiphera. So these were half castes. But by the hand put on them, they became part of the. Are you guys following me this evening? You must understand that we are all spiritually blessed in Christ. We are all anointed. We are all powerful. But you see, there are people that still carry the blessing. The way Hebrew put it, he said, without controversy, the less is blessed of the greater. So there is a father in your life that carries the blessing. Amen. One of my sons was in my office. Sometimes, very recently. And it's someone that I told, do this. And he didn't want to do it. I just know, he didn't say he will not do it, but I just noticed his body language. I say, fine. I support you. Go and do what you want to do. And I sincerely prayed and I told God, I said, Father, I know the implication of what this guy is about to do. I know the implication of him going without my blessing. So, Father, please just prosper him, preserve him. And but I knew he was going to run into trouble. After some months, he came back. He said, Daddy, I want to start life afresh. I didn't curse him. Like, I can tell you now, I'm the one talking to you. I prayed for him. Like, he left and I told God, please, preserve this guy. Let him find success. Let him not be hurt. Because, you know, no matter how far a son goes, a son is still a son. Forever. That's why some of you, if you like, disappear. After 18 years, you're coming back. With your children. It's as simple as that. So I said, when you're talking, I said, well, you are always going to run into trouble. As simple as that. There are people that carry the blessing. I've explained that to you. For instance, your spiritual father carries the blessing. Your biological father carries the blessing. Are you getting me? Uh-huh. Then there are fathers in the body. Who may not be your spiritual father directly, but then there are people that God has brought to a position of fatherhood in the body of Christ and all that. They can also carry the blessing. You get the point? I have a spiritual father, but I have other great men I respect too. But pay attention, people. But you see, in your life, the biggest, strongest voice in your life is the voice of a spiritual father. That voice is powerful. That is why, even if you are here and a biological father has placed a curse on you, your spiritual father stands in the capacity to overturn that curse. I've explained that to you. For instance, in Genesis 49, we read, when he got to just the Reuben stone, Jacob put a curse on Reuben. He said, you went up to my couch, you shall not excel. You're unstable as waters. Deuteronomy 33, Moses spoke against that stuff. He said, let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. I get any point. So, if spiritual father stands in that capacity. That's what I want to say. Spiritual fatherhood, I don't know why God is saying I should talk about this. It's not a joke. And it's not as frivolous as our generation is making it look. There's a popular man of God down in the street, he can't tell him, be my spiritual father. So, that's a very long post on Facebook. He say, my father. We're so frivolous with this thing. You know me now. I'm not excited. I don't even like the title Daddy. I, on a serious note, I don't like it. It makes me look old. That's the truth. So if people understand that, they will know I'm not excited on Facebook. Daddy, you're my father. You're my pastor. You're my father. I don't know you. Spiritual father in our generation now is used to create relationship. Pidgin English, Abi, all this Gen Z, they call it farmsing. It's farmsing, like, I just want to show I know you. So all I have to do when I get a spiritual father is to fight her to get a picture with him. And once we snap together, I post on Facebook and say, my daddy, my future. Amen. When you meet three fathers, you know. Amen. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Because that person carries the blessing. There will always come a time in your life when you'll be stuck. If you're not there yet, you're going to get there. And sometimes only the boss of a father can get out of the place. I'm telling you for free. Yes, but I carry the Holy Ghost. I know. Amen. But even that Holy Ghost you carry is the one that authored the Bible. And that Holy Ghost will direct you. I get to the point. You know, just two days ago, not in the 80s, I was having some confusion around church and all that. And I called my pastor. We spent an hour or so talking on the phone, I think. I was even in the office here. And after we talked, you know, there are seasons that God wants to release you into, and he needs the voice of a father to release into that season. Are you getting me? The voice of a father. One of the things I do anytime I go to meet my pastor is that I make sure that they pray for me. When I mean they, I mean him and mom. He say, I also meeting to the wife. Father, what is the structure? Did you hear what I said? Well, not for today. So the dad is submitted to my dad, I submitted to my mom too. He says, is it about marriage? Well, maybe not. But if people are married, okay, and then the father decides to share the ministry with the woman, then they already have, she already has a part of that ministry. And you better take it serious. Are you guys following me? So, that blessing, so Jacob knew what to do. Joseph knew what to do. There's one more lesson I'm going to show you. It's still about this blessing thing. But we're going to learn it from somebody, from Pharaoh. Because it was recognized, I know, I'm saying it because I'm going to show you from this about Pharaoh and we pray. But I would like you to see. You must, no matter who you become tomorrow, recognize the people that carry the blessing in your life. There are such people. It's not their fault. It's just there. There are people that carry the blessing in my life. I know them. Even people in Oboli know that it's grandmaster. That when the thing is said to go and make sacrifice. So, Genesis, let me show you. When, put up that place. When Jacob arrived, Egypt. Genesis chapter 47 verse 7. So something to learn from Pharaoh before we close today. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. What did Jacob do? He blessed Pharaoh. You know, this verse blessed me in two ways. He blessed me as Pharaoh and blessed me as Jacob. Jacob, now who was Pharaoh again? The president of Egypt. That is the world power as at that time. The whole nations of the world were coming to Egypt to come and buy food. That was Pharaoh. And Jacob entered and blessed Pharaoh. The first thing he taught me is to, if I'm Jacob, you know, when you are aware of what you carry. So that's why you see me in church now. They make you win election and become president. You think I can never correct you? I will correct you. Not in public. In public, I'll say, Your Excellency, sir, when I come to the room, I say, Casey. What was that? What was that policy? The foolish thing is when they start talking to you, say, you're talking to the president, so. You can imagine, let's liken him to Joe Biden. At least, people believe U.S. is the number one nation now, is it? I disagree too, but it's okay. I disagree. Some nations will not agree. I know China is trying to do whatever. Russia too. Don't ignore Russia. Forget all the propaganda on the media about them. Don't ignore those people. But then imagine you enter such a man's, such office. The first thing, see, Jacob did not bow before Pharaoh. I'll come to this later. He blessed him. So I bless you. Now see the next verse. Of course, Pharaoh said unto him, how old art thou? Verse 9, he said, and Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of my pilgrimage are 130 years. And he said, fear and evil is about sin. Now, verse 10 is important. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. So here he came, he blessed him. He wanted to go. He blessed him again. And lesson from Pharaoh. Pharaoh did not do, you don't know I'm president. Nothing like that. In fact, by that blessing, he gave them the best part of the land to go and live. He blessed, he honored the man. I get the point. He honored the man. So no matter where you get to, recognize people that carry the blessing in your life. So it's not time to start saying, do you know who I am? Even if you are president, you are King Pharaoh. Some people carry the blessing. Some people's hands will change your life. Some people's words will change your generation. And I gave this one in 3 Prosperity Summit. No matter how high you get in life, don't forget people that carry the blessing, that carry the power to bless. A father carries the power to bless. Carries the power to bless. That's why I say it all the time. Every time you see me blessing in this church talking, I'm not saying that to make the service exciting. You know me, I don't even want my service to be exciting. I'm not that kind of person. If I want my service to be exciting, I can start from the praise session. That's the kind of praise you introduce yourself. Everybody will be excited. I don't want that kind of excitement. I don't want my service to be hot. So when you see me just start blessing and people are shouting amen, I'm not trying to charge the service. You know, they say, let's charge the atmosphere. That's not what you do. I speak to you because I carry that power to bless you. 2019, the Lord said to me, if you don't begin to bless your people, they will never make progress. The Lord rebuked me sharply in 2019. He said, you don't speak over these people enough. You get the point? You know, then now, before that, I'm a powerful teacher. All I know is that I'll teach you Bible and I'll go. Straight up. But he said, you don't speak over. He said, every opportunity you get, speak over these people. Because those things you are telling, you are giving to them, are things that will carry them. So when Joseph entered Egypt, he came in by the strength of the God of Jacob. My God. The same thing that happened to Abraham happened to him. Abraham left his father's house, went to a strange land, became wealthy. Isaac, the same blessing, went to a strange land, became wealthy. Jacob, the same blessing. He too came to a strange land. The same thing followed him. And that's why I want to say this by the Spirit. You must pay attention to the flow that is flowing in your lineage. Pay attention to the flow that is flowing in your spiritual lineage. I guess what I'm talking about. Because I'm so bothered about ancestral causes. We have a spiritual lineage. That's why there is a pattern of flow, a pattern of the anointing and resource you find in your pastor. Begin to expect that to your own life too. That's the lineage you come from. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's the lineage you come from. Now, this is a digression, but I want to say this to you. The lineage where I come from, that's why you notice I've been talking about marriage, because let's go back and talk to me about it. The lineage where I come from, we come from blessed marriages. Listen, my pastor's pastor has a very powerful marriage. My pastor's pastor, I'm not joking. I get the point. My pastor's pastor, they do ministry together. Everybody I come from that lineage is not all these people that, you know, they minister, wife is at the background, mother in the kitchen, cooking. We are not like that. I'm not joking. I have nobody that is from that lineage whose, I'm not condemning you, I'm just telling you a story, whose wife is in Yugoslavia and him is in Nigeria. There's nothing like that. They serve the Lord together. That's the lineage I come from, friend. And that's what you should expect in your own life. Pay attention to what is working in your lineage. If you don't know yet, in this lineage, we do word of faith a lot. We grow rich by talking. And that's how I watched my pastor get there. My pastor is a prophet and example because I watched him serve the Lord. The Lord said to him, the same thing he said to me. Now the Lord said to me, told me that stuff before I even met him. So when I met him, he said the Lord told him to in his own days. He said, don't do anything, because that time there was a lot of craze. You know, on Facebook, there's nothing like full-time ministry. It's not correct. Well, the Lord told me, you will serve me in full-time ministry. And God told my pastor too, and I saw him talk, and trust God, and became wealthy. And that's the same pattern. That's your own pattern. So you're going to serve God and speak and do your own thing. Like become rich too. In this our lineage, for instance, I can give you some of that that I've seen. My pastor's pastor is so anointed to teach that even till now, the man is in his 60s and his 70s. But the last convention that they held, he taught the last session, that was on Saturday, was about 7 hours. An old man at that age. And I saw the men that have been there for years, some of these old men with gray hairs, they will stand, just the same pattern, what is that talking? They will just stand and face him. Two of them stood throughout. And they were not dancing and running up and down at that age. And I saw the same spirit of faith raising strong believers. And I don't come from a lineage that does me for frivolity. Do you get the point? I don't come from a play lineage. Say yo. That's not where I come from. I'll tell you for free. No apologies. Pay attention to the flowing in your lineage. We enjoy long life here. Yeah, that's where I come from. Pay attention to that. So, Jacob, their son has been flowing in their lineage. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, these guys too. You know, the thing rested upon Joseph so much and then rubbed off on the whole of Israel. So, they started staying in Egypt and began to prosper more than the Egyptian. That's why the persecution started coming. You get the point? They now turn them to slaves. That is a grace to succeed in a strange land. And when that blessing is upon you, that's why when you follow a ministry, follow a man, you must follow well. So that what is flowing in that lineage can flow to you. It flow to you. Go and observe everybody in my lineage. You see how I behave. That's the same thing. Same thing. You can't find us now. Maybe they say, oh, this is happening in social place and we're on Facebook ranting. Yeah, no. You can't find that anywhere. I'm not that kind of person. The blessing around me is belt peace. If you pay attention to it. No matter how Nigeria is boiling, if you're around me, you'll be peaceful. You get the point? Pay attention to the flow in your lineage. To the flow in your lineage. There's going to be ease for you from today. I said there's going to be ease for you from today. There's going to be ease for you from today. Power this a little. There's going to be ease from today. And I release that ease to begin to work in your life now from today. In the name of Jesus. Pay attention. There is a flow in this lineage. That blessing rested upon these guys. They changed their lives forever. So Joseph realized that I can have all my expertise, but I need the blessing of God. So when he heard these guys are about to die, and that particular thing that happened in Genesis 48 was very prophetic. Do you realize, some of you know the story, immediately they arrived, Jacob was already tired. He just sat up, managed to sit down, and they put the elder one, Manasseh, by the right. Put the younger one, Ephraim, by the left. And he crossed his hand. That's so much I'm going to say. Let me tell you, the things that happen when the blessing is being released is very prophetic. So Joseph got angry. He was like, no, sir. This is the older one. You should put your right hand on him. He said, yes. Manasseh is going to be great. He's going to be a great man. But this Ephraim guy, there is something about him. So when the prophetic blessing is happening, people's future are decided. Even things you cannot see, the man with his deep eye as an old man can actually see that something. I've got to look at the tribe of Ephraim. I am going to say this to you. Never despise the blessing. Never. I told you guys, God told me many years ago that something I was praying for. The Lord said, I am going to give this to you. I'm going to anoint you with this. But never forget the oil through which I anointed you. There are people that carry the blessing.
person.
Let us know if you have stayed under some pastors or under a mentor who really did a great job in your life. And now God is leading you to join us and all that. I want us to tell you to go back to that place again and get the blessing. Let them pray for you and release you peacefully. Especially if you stay there in the capacity of a worker or a son.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you something. For many of us, we just need these things. I'm just a bit bold with your gifts. Engage the favor of God upon you. Trust the blessing. Always go for it. Let me close this way. There are seasons in your life, I've explained to you. You need the blessing in some seasons. So, for instance, at the beginning of anything, the blessing must start it. Remember I told you that? If anything is about to start, that's why marriage is not a frivolous thing. Wedding is not frivolous. Because wedding, when you're about to wed, a man that carries that blessing should speak over your life. You give birth to your child. Don't play. Even if you are in the UK or you are in Australia, first you carry the blessing upon that child. So make sure you speak. And I've told you that once you're pregnant, for the whole 9 months, you're talking to your baby every day. But the way that baby comes, find the man that carries the blessing over your life. Let him speak over that child. The person is in Israel. Once they give it to a child, they carry him. After 8 days, take him to the temple. Did you understand that? So that words can be spoken over him. That's even the day you name the child. So in Israel, the name is proclaiming a blessing upon the child. You want to start a business? Let's speak. Make sure words are spoken. So where you go, you're not a man without a blessing. So the man Joseph understood this whole thing. He took his sons, sister, put your hands on them. And Jacob began to speak prophetically. I always say this when I talk about this. What we value in church today has changed with what they valued those days. Today I see people hailing pastors. Now, you know me, I'm not someone that likes to be put in a box, so you can hate me, but I'm going to talk about this. I see people hailing pastors all over the internet. That guy is a good pastor. Why? He's sharing rice to people. You know, the guy is not a good pastor. He's a good Christian. A Christian should share rice. But you see, you're a bad member. If the only thing you receive from your pastor is bag of rice, you're a bad member. Your pastor was not raised to give you physical things. He was raised to put the blessing on you. So that you can get those physical things by the blessing. So as a, for me, you know me now, once I give money, I give whatever, but I'm doing it as a Christian. In my capacity as a pastor. So you see people choosing mentors and fathers based on things. Say, he used to give me seats. He used to give me money. Somebody once said to one of my daughters, and say, I thought if she's not here, I wish she was here. I would have pointed out. I told her, you say that guy is your pastor. He's your father. And yet you want to buy WAEC. He cannot even give you WAEC fee. Of course, she knew better. She told her, I don't want WAEC fee from him. I get the point. Yeah, you must correct your mindset. What are you looking for? Jesus asked the guys, when you went to the wilderness, who did you go there to see? So you come, what are you coming to see? Are you coming to see a sponsor? An ATM machine? Or the pastor? Now, I close this way. Did you observe a pattern? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, none of them passed on any physical thing to their children. None. Not land. Abraham never gave Isaac land. Isaac never gave none. Can't think about what I just told you. Not one. All they gave them was, I'll bless you. A man that's given you the blessing has done you well. Has done you well. I followed my pastor for the short time I followed him. I have never got any physical thing from him. Never. And I'm not even expecting it. I am the one that's, I will be this, I'm the sender of physical things. Because what you were sent to give. Of course, if he says, if I say, I want to give you whatever, I do that a lot. But that's not because I'm your spiritual father. I'm just a good believer. And I should first of all be a believer before I am a pastor. Is that not correct? Yeah. So I should live the life of a Christian.
love, walk in love. I was talking about it on Sunday.
But you see, my capacity as a pastor, I have to put the blessing on you. I have to push you. I have to teach you. I have to correct you. I have to instruct you. If a man is teaching you the word Monday to Monday, I have not given you money. The man has done enough.
Amen. Lift your hands. Give Jesus praise. All about us, please. My shield and my buckler.
I showed you today, sinking. You need to be bold. You need to carry that God's presence, that awareness into whatever you are doing. Then you must carry the blessing. And you know the thing about the blessing? It can never be too much. I taught you this. It can never be too much. Israel fathers, Jewish fathers, are taught to speak words over their children every morning. Every morning they say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord raise the light of his countenance upon every morning. So it's never too much. You know, it says the Lord says, the coming together, the convergence of many prophetic words spoken, that will bring about a mega result in your life. So you know that speaking over you is like nothing is happening. Just be receiving well. Attention to what is working in this lineage. For instance, you believer, you minister, there is a strong teaching anointing that is working in this lineage. Pay attention to that. Maneno barata.
Hallelujah. Amen. So the things I shared with you today, they are not just there to
excite you or for me to not start speaking over you. I want it to enter you. I want it to form a part, a lifestyle for you. A lifestyle. A lifestyle. And you know, when you become conscious of it, you can always tell people. Well, if you see people that can never finish telling their stories, their success stories, without saying things like, you know, God helped me, you know, I prayed, you know, my pastor said, it's because they've become aware of how these things work. Because if you're not aware of how these things work, even the things that God works out in your life, you might interpret it as coincidence. I get the point. I know how these things work in my life. And I've been trained so much to know that there's actually not such a thing as coincidence. So when some miracles, I begin to notice some things in my life, positively and even negatively, I see that to begin to trace how did this come about. In a time in your life where it's like everybody just favoring, everybody just giving you things, pay attention. It might be one day in church that such words came forth. It might be one day you are praying in your room that God led you to declare in that direction. I get what I'm talking about. Things don't just happen like that. Our dreams are valid. And we are going to engage them. I've taught you about that thing. Believe. Go for it. Do this. Engage. Attack it. Last week we were dealing with things like bitterness. Stay away from bitterness and all that. Today I'm saying you need that presence of God that brings about his favor. And you need to be bold. And you need that blessing. That's what stood Joseph out. So you wonder why the guy will enter into Pharaoh's house. A slave. From a slave to a prisoner. That's from frying pot to fire. Then from there, prisoner enters Pharaoh's house and is talking with confidence. There's an awareness. Just pay attention to that statement. He said, tell me the dream. Is not interpretation with God. Somebody in the prison would have asked him, if interpretation is with God, why am I telling you, are you God? All you're trying to tell them is, I know God is with me. And since it's one of interpretation, tell me I know what it means. It's an awareness. May God bring you to that point of awareness where you just know. I don't know what this service did for you, but I tell you, I just feel a lot has adjusted here in this service. Yeah. Many of you are supposed to go now and be bold with what God has put in your hands. As bold as you can be. With an awareness of the presence and the blessing. Do you understand? I don't think anybody can go from me here with everything we've taught and practice everything we're teaching and not make first three in anything he's competing for. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. Lift your hands. Come up a little. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When all the hell past fail and comfort me. Help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. God said, before you go, I should pray help upon you. Abide with me. Fast falls the heavens. The darkness deepens again.
Students will enjoy this leverage. They will enjoy it in their studies
will stand out is that you will begin to experience strong financial flow even as you write your exams. You will not go down, you will not break down financially or health-wise. You will be found strong in the name of Jesus. Be blessed with strength. Excel with strength. Enjoy divine help. Enjoy divine help. Enjoy divine help. Enjoy the help of God. Enjoy the help of angels. Enjoy the help of men. In the name of Jesus. This help is yours now. And you will testify to this. In weeks and weeks to come, we will keep hearing testimonies about help. In the name of Jesus. Father, the Lord said, I should say to you, be aware of the words spoken. So that when they happen, you will know they've happened. Put them commit them to memory. For help has come your way now. Ebenezer is going to show up for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Are you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.